Blog Talk Radio.
Joined by Corey Hirsch. Talk a little football, talk a little baseball, talk a little relationship advice as we continue to honor the 8 years of teeing it up with Jeremy Schilling. Can't believe it's been 8 years. 10 days from now, we mark the 8 days. From now, we mark the 10-year, 10 days from now, we mark the 8-year mark. There we go. Get that. I got that straight on my tongue. We move on. The BMW Championship this week. Next event in the FedEx Cup playoffs. Rory McIlroy, now the number one player in the world, is this goes back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. Basically, the calendar doesn't align, the January-February calendar. January to December calendar does not align with this year's, does not align with last year's and the year before's PGA Tour schedule. The tournaments don't match up. So as people's divisor in this two-year thing come off and finishes come off, even though guys were off last week, we're getting some flip-flopping, which basically goes to show how tight it really is up at the top. And that's the biggest message to take away from this, is that we can very easily have Jason or Jordan or Rory being number one in the world, depending on what they do this week. And unless somebody goes on a little run here, we're going to have for the foreseeable future multiple guys able to make a run at being number one in the world, which is basically appropriate because of what we've seen this year with young guys' emergence and especially the consistency how these aren't flash in the pan, fluky wins. These are more consistent wins that happen over time. This is a big week for Phil Mickelson. He's playing this week only because he was a captain's pick for the President's Cup. And as much as he loves the President's Cup and the Ryder Cup, he needs to play better, or else he's not going to play, especially under the new format with less matches where you can start resting people. And there's nothing Phil Mickelson wants to do more than not playing an event. There's nothing else he wants more than to play poorly. He wants to play well at all costs. So look for him, really, I think, to play well this year. He says his swing is back on plane. He just hasn't played consistent enough golf and hasn't hit enough good shots at the right time. Look, I know everybody points to the second place finish at Augusta. Nobody was catching Jordan Spieth there. And I think that's what people are forgetting, that they're pointing to Augusta. But the point is, nobody was going to beat Jordan that week. That doesn't count in my book. Yes, he played well, but he was never in serious contention for a win, and that's the difference. We have not seen consistently Phil Mickelson contend this week. So to me, those are the two headlines kind of to watch. One, obviously, with the Solheim Cup, the Ryder Cup for the ladies, is number one, can Jordan Spieth play better? Who will emerge out of this number one race? And number two, can Phil Mickelson play better with the President's Cup only a couple weeks away? So that's the golf headlines there, and we're going to take a 30-second break, listen to Bob Costas, and then we'll get you to Corey Hirsch to talk about baseball, football, and relationship advice.
Sometimes tough isn't enough. Lou Gehrig was baseball's Iron Man, but lost it all to ALS, a muscle-wasting disease that destroyed his skills and ended his life in just a few years. MDA's been leading the fight to vanquish ALS for decades. Truly effective treatments must be found, because the battle Lou Gehrig fought is still being waged in households across America. Call 1-800-572-1717 to learn more about what MDA's doing to strike out ALS and save lives.
And it's our pleasure to welcome back to the show a man who spent many an hour with me, the one, the only, the Mr. Corey Hirsch. How are you, sir?
Jeremy, I am wonderful. How are you?
I'm surprised you're wonderful after the Giants debacle late last night.
Well, I had a nice long sleep ever happened. Unfortunately, that didn't work, but you know what? Yeah, you have to try to move on and live your life. That's what I'm going to do one day at a time.
There you go. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about a different angle of this, which was coming into the season, we knew the Giant defense was a trouble spot, and obviously that exposed itself last night. What was your outlook on this team entering last night and coming out of last night? Has that outlook changed?
My outlook that I was not overly optimistic. They just have so many holes. You could look at all three phases and find a problem in each one of them. Afterwards, I don't really know. I kind of assumed that they were going to lose by 25, and I really wish they had rather than lose the way that they did. There were certain aspects of the game in which they played better than I thought they were, and they continue to make bonehead mistakes and can't close out games, and their defense in the last two drives looked like kind of the way I thought it would the whole game. So no, I don't think my outlook's really changed. Certainly, there's a worse taste left in my mouth after last night than there would have been had they just done what I thought they were going to do and lose by two touchdowns. So, it's kind of hard to say, but I still think they're going to go 6-10.
All right, so now let's pivot to this. Your Red Sox have had a debacle of a season. You have fired an extremely popular announcer in quite possibly the sloppiest way possible. Your team is a mess. What's your interpretation here of the Red Sox? Because
wrong. The team is not a mess.
Okay.
The team is not a mess. They can start engraving the 2016 World Series trophy right now, Jim.
You have faith?
I have the utmost faith. Here's what's going to happen. You ready? I'm gonna mark it down, and hopefully Dave Dombrowski is listening, and I'll take my check in the mail when they win the World Series next year.
Hold on a second. This is the 6 p.m. half hour, September 14th, 2015. Corey Hirsch has said that next year they are winning the World Series.
That's right. You can mark it down.
So that we can run back this tape, come October next year. Go ahead.
Or you could burn the tape and pretend this conversation never happened. One of the two. But here's what's going to happen. Red Sox are going to go out. They're going to sign David Price. All right? That's step one. Step two, you're going to get Clay Buchholz back. Rick Porcello is going to figure it out. Joe Kelly is going to win 16 games as your number four starter because he's figured it out. He's 8-0 in his last 8 starts. And you can find a fifth starter, whether it's, Wade Miley, who they have, and it probably will be Wade Miley. And then if guys get hurt, you've got a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez, who's shown that he has the ability to be a major league pitcher. And the rotation, which was a major league problem this year, has already worked itself out. Now, you look at the offense, okay? They've got young budding stars, Mookie Betts, who the ball just jumps off his bat, okay? Jackie Bradley Jr., who couldn't hit anything, has figured out his swing. He's in good shape. The offense, never a problem, and hopefully Andy Ramirez plays a little better, and so does Pablo Sandoval.
interesting. And you know, it's like the San Francisco Giants. They win the World Series every other year. And you know, you look at a situation like the Red Sox, and it seems like every 4 years or every 5 years they, you know, go through these stretches of being fantastic, horrible, fantastic, horrible. It seems to me that the Red Sox, you know, look, Uehara was great a couple years ago when they won the title. It hasn't been that way since. It doesn't seem to me like you've had a consistent back end of the bullpen since the Papelbon days.
Well, I mean, when they won in 2013, they were lights out. But, you know, you're right. I mean, Uehara, he's what? You don't really know what you're going to get out of him, especially now that he's gone for the year, broke his hand on a line drive that came back at him. And, you know, but I mean, that is, I think if you look at up and down baseball, you will find that for the most teams, a lot of their trouble spots are in the bullpen. It's just, you know, like that's just kind of the way baseball is. I mean, you want a strong back end of the bullpen, obviously. I mean, look at the Royals last year, who didn't have a guy hit over 300, didn't have a guy hit more than 25 home runs, but when you got to the seventh inning, you knew the game was basically over, and they made it all the way to the World Series. So, you know, if you can shore that up, it puts you really in a much better spot than most teams.
Talking to the great Corey Hirsch. So you've got a struggling Giant team, a struggling Red Sox team. What sport has given you joy lately?
My adult league baseball team.
Okay, let's talk about that. Tell us about them.
No, well, we were eliminated in the playoffs in the summer. We just started our fall league and we lost our first doubleheader. But I get enjoyment out of playing. I went 2-4.
What position do you play?
I was playing third base yesterday. I've been known to move around the infield.
Interesting. Have you ever pitched in your career?
Yes. I'm no longer much of a pitcher because I hadn't really played since high school. So my arm really isn't what it used to be. And I don't need it flying off its shoulder. So not much of a pitcher anymore these days, Jeremy.
It's interesting because we've talked, you and I have talked many times about the vagaries of sports, the weirdness of sports, how things come out of nowhere. We've already seen this year the rise of Steph Curry to insane pantheons, really, of stardom. Let's go back to the NFL for a second. Who, from what you saw yesterday, I'm not sure how much football you watched yesterday, but from the amount of football that you saw yesterday, who do you think is going to be the rising star of 2015? Because that person was probably Odell Beckham in 2014. Anybody jump out at you yesterday?
Is it too easy to say Marcus Mariota? That's the obvious answer.
Yeah, same. I was going to say him. I mean, I'm not sure we've ever seen a performance like that.
No, I mean, granted, you have to take it with a grain of salt. They were playing Tampa Bay. They, you know, not like he was going up against studs on the other side. But, you know, I mean, it's still your debut. It's, you know, your NFL debut, and you come out and you play a game like that. And, you know, I mean, certainly he had his doubters. But, you know, to make a statement like that and, you know, to almost wholeheartedly change everyone's opinion in one game certainly says something. And, you know, look, it remains to be seen. I mean, I'm sure if you go back and look through football history, there have been plenty of people who had spectacular debuts that maybe went on to nondescript careers. But you certainly have to say that he showed what he can do and what he has the ability to do. The question is, can he do it consistently?
Corey, last week on the institution that is Teeing It Up with Jeremy Schilling, and we are talking to Mr. Corey Hirsch, we talked about relationship advice. This is the 8-year anniversary of Teeing It Up. It comes up in 10 days, September 24th, for 8 years of this fantastic radio show. And that segment obviously has done wonders for many different people.
Of course.
you know, and given some great memories. And last week we had Mike Romsky and Alex Bursch give what they've learned about relationship advice over the last 8 years. Is there anything that you've learned about relationships? And you can take this anyway, romantically, work, personal, you know, your favorite Chinese food restaurant, checkout person, and you, however you want to take relationships. What have you learned over the last 8 years?
Oh, I've learned so much. Most of it from you, Jeremy, actually.
Well, okay, that's very kind, but besides what you've learned from Jay Shill, what else do you have to add to this?
I've learned, I suppose, that the best way to cultivate positive personal relationships, not just romantic, but in other ways, is that to treat people with respect, and as cliche as it is to treat people the way you'd like to be treated, because there are so many people that don't do that. Get around with selfish people who are only concerned about themselves. And when you take time out of your day to treat people in the right manner and to treat people with respect, it really brightens up everyone around you. And that's, you know, it really just makes this crazy old world a much happier place to live. And so I think you should do that.
It's very kind-hearted.
Thank you. I like to think that I am that kind of person.
You are. You are. I've known you for a long time. Let me ask you this as we pivot back to sports here for a second.
I'm very curious how you segue what I just said into whatever you're about to say.
Well, last week was – no, well, there is no segue. I just wanted to hop around because I told you when I called you, you know, 30 seconds before this interview that I wanted to that I wasn't going to preview this, that this would just be stream consciousness, you know, whatever we come up with, we come up with.
We are off the cuff.
Yes, and last week, you know, trying to do a show on a holiday like Labor Day is extremely tough to do because it's tough to track people down.
Hey, it's a holiday today.
Well,
don't forget.
Yes, it is Rosh Hashanah, but it's a different kind of holiday because, you know, some people are still available. Some people are actually more available today versus some other days because of the holiday. And so we did a Teeing It Up Presents the Chilling with Shilling Relationship Advice segment special where we kind of look back over the last 8 years Chilling with Shilling. And I told the folks that I wanted like 5 or 6 different people and that just couldn't happen. So we're going to kind of sprinkle these in as we near the 10-year the 8-year anniversary, which comes up in 10 days.
I didn't get a call last week, so what's that about?
Because I quickly realized that I need to pace myself.
Ah, okay.
Because I wasn't getting the response, and if I wanted to pace myself, then I need to, you know, stagger these. If I'm going to do 4 or 5 of these questions, I'm going to have to stagger this. So.
Fair enough.
What I always find interesting is there's a very unique relationship in this country between their teams and themselves, the fans and the teams. And when you see your own team having a bad season, you now have to somehow figure out, am I going to just turn this off? Am I going to put my weight behind somebody else? You know, what am I going to do? So this is clearly not the Red Sox season. Have they been officially out? By the way, or
no,
they're eliminated.
They're not technically eliminated, though.
Jeez.
I mean, mathematically, they're eliminated. They're alive, but it's crazy. What's today? Monday. They win yesterday. No. Yes, they lost it. They won an extra. They still have the third worst record in the American League, but because of the second wild card and how packed in everything is in the American League, even though there's like 7 or 8 teams in front of them, they're only like 7 games out of the playoffs. It's pretty crazy.
If you win all your games and everybody else loses all their games, magical things could happen, Corey.
That's right. That's very true.
But let's just say that magic is not going to happen.
Probably fair to say.
So who do you want to see hoist that trophy coming October 9th on the Fox television network?
I mean, just because of growing up in this area and knowing a bunch of Mets fans, it would be nice to see the Mets at least make a run. I'm starting to get a little fed up with them in that they act as if they're the first team that ever made this kind of run before. But I understand it's been a rough 10 or so years for them. Of course, going all the way back to the Beltran strikeout against Adam Wainwright, to the collapse a couple years later, then over the next 5 years, just pretty putrid baseball. So I can understand it, and it would be nice to see them make a little bit of a run. I really like the Blue Jays, which is odd because I guess they are technically a division rival, but they've kind of been out of it for so long, you know, and other teams kind of like the Mets. It's been more than 20 years since they've even been in the playoffs, and then at the trade deadline where they basically, their fans and the baseball world, that they were going to make a run for it. They traded for probably the best pitcher on the market and maybe the best bat on the market. They got both in Troy Tulowitzki and David Price, and it's paid off. You know, they've started to pull away from the Yankees a little bit. They're 3.5 games ahead, and it would be a good baseball story. So I guess those are the two teams that I'd really be pulling for.
The Mets have been a remarkable story, and it shows you what can happen sometimes when you just make one acquisition. What Cespedes is doing has been crazy.
Yeah, it is. The Red Sox had him until they decided they should trade him for Rick Porcello. What are you going to do? I mean, you're right, and it's crazy. They traded for him, and then everybody else started hitting. It just really turned into a domino effect. You can't get him out, and he just hits the ball so hard, so far, and it's been an incredible story. I mean, if they needed a bat in the middle of the order, he's your answer right there, and he's been a godsend for
them. And finally, the other question obviously would involve the National Football League. If this is not the Giants' season, and I think most people agree it's not going to be a season where the Giants hoist the Lombardi Trophy, most likely, who would you like to see hoisting that trophy from Roger Goodell and Jim Nantz in Super Bowl 50 on the CBS television network?
Whichever team I decided to bet on. If I'm being perfectly honest, I don't really care for any other football teams.
Corey, you see why I like to have you on Teeing It Up?
Brutal honesty.
You give us brutal honesty every single time.
You know me, Jeremy. I don't pull any punches.
Quinnipiac has never had a football team. We are undefeated
never.
Since 1929. If we form the best flag football league team, okay, the best flag team, okay, whoever wins flag football this semester intramural flag football, could they have managed the clock better than Tom and Eli last night?
100%.
Okay.
I was at work last night. I'm screaming at the television, and I don't even think I'd be on the best flag football team in intramural football. I've moved on, Jeremy. You see what you've done. You're bringing up fresh wounds here.
Well,
it makes me so angry.
Luckily for you, this interview is about to end, so I'm going to, you know, your anger will be short-lived here.
I appreciate it.
Because I know that you have other places to go, and you don't want to be mad with them.
No, I'm going to be, road rage is a big problem in this country, as you know.
Yes, road rage caused a Cleveland Browns player to have a car accident over the weekend, so.
I did see that, and remember, folks. No drinking at sporting events.
Yes, that's my crusade. That's my new crusade. I'm sick of sitting next to horribly behaved intoxicated people. It happened again yesterday.
This is what happens when you sit in the upper deck at football games. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I've sat next to drunk people in lower decks.
I don't know. Maybe you should drink with them. Maybe you'd have a better time.
No, my doctor would have an issue with that.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I understand. I do understand. Andrew side of it, but you can't ban people from drinking at sporting events. It's not going to happen. There are 99% of people who can and not act like a lunatic. So just because there's 1% of idiots in the world, and that's probably a conservative estimate, they're probably much more than 1%. But let's say 1 to 5. But in this particular segment of this conversation, 99% of people will not create any kind of issue.
You're probably
beers. And so just because there's these clowns, and there are clowns, that's like saying you shouldn't go to sporting events because there are some people that run on the field. So now nobody can go.
You are probably right, but I keep hearing more and more about these tales. Maybe they're just getting bigger publicity. But, you know, look, Christmas week is always a tough week for me to get guests. Maybe I'll do a roundtable discussion on it, which will air that week, because it really is getting ridiculous. But anyway,
I'll even do it in person.
Maybe. It's a different discussion for a different time. But, Corey, I thank you for coming on Teeing It Up on Blog Talk Radio, the Golf News Radio Network, and iTunes. You are now on iTunes.
Wow. It's a true honor. I'm going to download this as soon as I get home.
You should. And just think, you and Taylor Swift now have something in common.
More than you know, Jeremy. More than you
can.
Know.
You are both on iTunes.
Well, all right.
Corey, thank you.
Jeremy, a pleasure, though.